The responsorial psalm today is Psalm 51. I'm going to stand at the anvil. Psalm 51 is, tradition says, was written by King David after his sins with Bathsheba and against Uriah. So it's a beautiful psalm of repentance. It's a psalm that the church proposes to us to pray every Friday throughout the year, but maybe in a particular way, Lent is a beautiful time to pray that psalm of repentance, of mercy. In our other three readings from Genesis, from St. Paul to the Romans, and from the Gospel, we hear the tale of two Adams. St. Paul is clear that the first Adam was a type or a foreshadowing of the second Adam, whom we know as Jesus Christ. God created the first Adam in his own image and likeness. The first Adam was created in the image and likeness of the future Adam. And God blew into his nostrils the breath of life, just as later he brought the second Adam to life by the same divine breath, the Holy Spirit, descending into the womb of the Virgin Mary. Both Adams carried the breath of life, the Holy Spirit within them. Now, Genesis goes on to comment on how the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that God had made. You know, on some level, we all kind of love to be clever, right? Shrewd, smart, crafty, cunning. Love to get the best of that other person. The serpent's cunning seems to have made him a target for the fallen angel Lucifer, the devil or Satan. The cunning serpent became a pawn used by Satan to get at those God created in his own image and likeness. Now, like the serpent, the woman also wanted to be smart and shrewd. No, God didn't say we can't eat from any tree, just that one. In fact, he said we can't even touch it or we'll die. She's trying to be just as cunning as the serpent, and it leads her to a lie. God didn't say don't touch it, just don't eat it or you'll die. But now she's started down a path, and the man, her husband, who's supposed to be helping her, right, a helpmate to her, just as she is to him, is standing beside her doing nothing. He doesn't jump in to protect her. He lets her go down that path, and he walks it with her. She ate the fruit and gave some to her husband who was with her. The letter to the Hebrews, elsewhere in the New Testament, says that out of fear of death, our parents were seduced by the devil to sin, and so become slaves of sin, slaves of the devil. You won't die if you eat that fruit. You'll die if you don't eat it. The awful worm. In the Gospel, we see this exact scenario played out again. The beautiful Garden of Eden has become a desert. That's the effect of sin and the reign of death. Now notice that the tempter, as the Gospel calls him, waits until Jesus is physically weakened by 40 days of fasting before he approaches him. The devil comes at us when we're weak. But while Jesus was physically weakened by his fasting, he was spiritually strengthened. The first Adam refused to fast. He broke the fast that God had imposed on him and ate of the fruit. They wanted to find their strength in food, in the stuff of this world. And in their physical strength, they fell into death. Do you place your strength in the stuff of this world? in food, in your bank account, in your experience, in your smarts, in your accomplishments? What do we think of as our strengths? The second Adam, in humble obedience, willingly keeps the fast, weakening himself physically, rejecting the strengths of this world, but growing strong in the spirit, strong in the breath of life that lives within him. If we try to fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons, we'll lose every time. The Christian life is a spiritual battle. And Jesus, the new Adam, our Adam, the real Adam, shows us how to fight it. With fasting, one does not live on bread alone, on the stuff of this world. With the Word of God, we do live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And thirdly, as St. Paul says, through humble obedience to God's will, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test, and him alone shall you serve. This temptation in the desert was really just the preliminary skirmish and the battle between the devil and our Adam. The final battle took place in a garden, as the gospel explicitly describes the place of the crucifixion. And there was fear not only of death, but of great suffering. And again, Jesus, weak from fasting, he had eaten nothing or drank anything from the Last Supper all the way to Calvary. The first Adam should have been willing to be crucified to save his bride, and vice versa. The second Adam was crucified to save his bride. You look carefully at the responses of Jesus to the tempter in today's gospel, and we can actually see his love for his bride coming out. You can almost hear him spit at that cunning worm when he cries out, "Get away, Satan! Get away from me and my bride, the church. You shall not have her. You shall not take her from me again." And now that bride, the church, of which we, you and I, are members, we must be sincere disciples of the one who has shown us so much love, who loves us so much, protecting us, dying for us, showing us how to resist the devil. We must not be afraid to be weak physically so that we can grow spiritually. We must not be afraid to be less cunning in a worldly way so that we can be wiser in the Word of God. We must not be afraid to rebuke Satan himself by the power of Christ to drive him away from us. We must not be afraid to suffer out of love and out of humble obedience to the will of the Heavenly Father. So here's the homework for the week. Make some extra time this week to pray with this Sunday's gospel again, asking for the grace to respond in humble obedience to the Word of God, and rebuking that worm, Satan, and all of his evil ones, whenever temptation comes our way, in the name of Jesus, get away, Satan.